have tremendous influence, good or bad. They have tremendous influence. And thank the Lord for godly mothers. And we sure have. I started to count up the ones that I'd done funeral services for since I've been here, almost 34 years, and I didn't have time to finish them. I got run out of time. So, but we appreciate the mother so very, very much. In John chapter number 19, verses 25, 26, and 27, you can just stay seated if you'd like to. And for sake of time, I'll just want to make some comments and about mothers and about what God thinks of mothers and how he looks on them. Verses 25, 26, and 27, very familiar passages of Scripture, especially for this time of the year. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, as I mentioned. This is a time when Jesus is hanging on the cross. And his mother was the only person that he asked that she be taken away from where he was being crucified. Jesus loved his mother. He respected his mother. He honored his mother. And we're to do the same thing with our moms. And if you had a mother like I had, it's no problem to honor nor to love her and respect her, I'll tell you right now. And sometimes to fear her a little bit. I'll tell you, but mothers are very special. The word mother is used some 300 times in the Bible. First mention of mothers in Genesis, before they ever become a mother, the word was used. In chapter 2 and verse number 24, it says, Therefore shall, and this was the first marriage when Adam was presented with Eve as his wife. And it says, Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his own wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the first time that it was used. In Genesis 20 and 12, it says, To honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. God had some respect for mothers. And God says that we're to respect our mothers in these days. It's still not a bad policy to respect your parents. And it's not against the law for your parents to tell you what to do. Amen? I haven't put my approval on that yet. So I guess I can say it. If they take me outside, I'll just come back in here and say it again when they turn me loose. There are different degrees of motherhood. Mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, and so on down the line. They're all mothers. Mother-in-law, stepmothers. They're all to be honored and respected. That's motherhood. And they're all to be honored. Remember that Naomi and Ruth, one of the greatest relationships in the Bible was a mother and her daughter-in-law. Ruth says, wherever you go, I'm going. Where you die, that's where I'm going to die. Wherever your people's going to be, that's going to be my people. Now remember that Ruth was leaving a heathen country and coming back with Naomi, her mother-in-law. But God honored her, and as a result, Ruth plays a big part in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord sure does care about mothers. The first mention of mothers in the New Testament is Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Jesus found a special person, a very, very special person, and her name was Mary. And the angel told her, you're found favor with God because God is going to let you give birth to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter number 5, a damsel, a young woman, a young lady, young girl had died. And Jesus came to the home. They sent for him, and he came to the home. And Jesus took the father and the mother and went in the room where she was and evidently closed the door. And he spoke to this young woman. He said, "Damsel, arise." And the Bible says she rose from the dead, and he presented her back to her mother. He sure did love that mother. Brought her daughter back from the dead. In Mark chapter 16, the mothers come to the tomb first in the morning. The mothers, a number of them, you read there in the Gospels, and you'll find that mothers came to the tomb early that morning, and they were the one that took the message the first time. He's alive. Hey, God sure did like mothers, I'll tell you. He really had a lot of respect for them. Let them take that important message. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus was going through a place called Nain. And in this city, they was carrying a young man out to bury him, the only son of his mother. And they was carrying him out to the cemetery. And Jesus saw that mother and saw that her heart was broken. He said, "Man, I got to do something about this." He stopped the pallbearers, said, "Wait a minute, fellas, I've got something I want to do." And he stopped the pallbearers, and they was carrying this young man out to his burying place. And Jesus says, "Young man, I say arise." And he got up, and he presented him back to his mom. Sure did like moms, I'll tell you. In John chapter 2, Jesus comes to the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. And his first miracle that he performed in that area was when he turned the water into wine. And Jesus did this because of his mother. When they run out of wine at the wedding feast, Mary came to Jesus and says, "They don't have any more wine." Well, he said, "I've not got anything to do with that. My hour's not yet come. This is not the time for this." But she went on about her way, but she told him, says, "Whatever he tells you, you do it." So the men were standing there. He said, "Fill the water pots with water." They filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said, "Now just start pouring it out and giving it to people and give it to the governor of the feast, the one that's in charge." And he says, "Hey, that's the best wine we've had all day. That's the best, the very best." That was what Jesus did. And he done it because his mother asked him. That's the reason why he done it. And then this scripture that I read here in John chapter number 19, that Jesus' mother was near the cross and Jesus wouldn't let her stay there to see her son die. Sent her away. John took Mary to his house and evidently took care of her as long as they lived. And then in chapter 30, or verse 30 of that same chapter, chapter 19 of John, Jesus done the last thing that he done for mothers, that he done on this earth, and for the whole world for that matter. He speaks it in verse number 30. "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar," and this is while he was hanging on the cross, and he said, "I thirst," and they put vinegar on a sponge and put it to his lips. And when he tasted that, he said, "It is finished." The greatest statement that's ever made. It is finished. That's the climax of God's plan of salvation was done in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it for every mother that's in this building here today. Whatever kind of mother you've been, Jesus died on the cross to take you to heaven. Whatever mother you plan to be, Jesus died on the cross to take you to heaven. He did that not just for the mothers, but he did it for everybody. But he loved mothers. He loved mothers. Even though he chose mothers to go through the pain to repopulate the earth, he gives them strength. He said, "I'll give you deliverance. I'll take care of you, even though you're going to suffer." And that's what he told Eve. And he's chosen that to populate the earth. And he loves mothers. And he loves you today. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, let me remind you that Jesus really does love you. He really loves you. Say, "Preacher, even though I'm not a Christian, does he love me?" Oh, yes. He loves you. He loves you. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are. Jesus loves you. As long as you're on this earth, you can be counted to be loved by one, and that's Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loved us enough to give his life. and he still loves us. He cares about you. And you need to be ready for heaven. If you're not ready, you ought to get ready. That's why he died on the cross, was to make people ready for heaven. That's the only way that we can have forgiveness of our sins, is by trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, you need to turn to him while you've got time. I've got an old song. Omer, could you do another one today we haven't done before? You think we'd get killed for doing it?
Whatever.
I want to live there, don't you? Okay. Mildred and Frank, would you come and help me and Omer? And they killed us all at one time. This old song has a great message in it. I want to live there, don't you? The mothers that's always been so close to me. So many of them are gone. My mother's gone to heaven, my biological mother. The mother of my sons have gone to heaven. A lot of them. My grandmothers are all in heaven. Many of the mothers that were so close and dear to my heart is already there. And this old song talks about I want to live there with them. Sometimes I get homesick for heaven. Sometimes I get a longing to see those folks that's gone on. And as we sing this song here today, if your mother's gone to heaven, you're not going to ever see her unless you're saved. Really, or your grandmother or whoever's gone to heaven, you're not going to see them unless you're saved. But you're going to live forever. Everybody in this building is going to live forever. I know we're going to die. We're going to go through that process, but that soul don't die, just the body. But that soul's going to live forever. And it's going to live in one of two places, heaven or hell. And the choice is yours. Choose the Lord today. If you don't know the Lord, let's stand. And there's got three verses. I don't know how many of them we'll sing. But if you stand with us and a couple of guys will come to pray with you, whatever needs you've got, if you want to get right with the Lord, you come. And this will be a good time. Mother's Day be a good day to get saved on. And the song is, I Want to Live There, Don't You? If you know it, you're welcome to join in and sing with us, okay?
There's a beautiful home waiting over the phone that the Lord has prepared for the true, built for you and for me by the beautiful sea. Oh, I want to live there.
nice verse. Would you sing with us?
There the streets are pure gold, I have often been told, and nobody shall ever be blue. There will be no goodbyes, no more sorrow or sighs. Oh, I want to live there, don't you?
Join with us on the chorus.
Oh, I want to live there, heaven's glory to share, praising Jesus the long ages through. In the Master's great fold, where we'll never grow old. Oh, I want to live there, don't you?
Thank you, folks. Thank you, Quartet. Appreciate you being here today in the Lord's house. And again, let me say, we appreciate the mothers, all the mothers that's here. And don't forget that Lillian has got you a flower as you go out. You pick up that flower as you go out. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And may the Lord bless you and give you some of these older ones that got the gift, Sister Nash and some of the others that's here. It's kind of like myself, got a little bit of gray in their hair. I don't have a little bit of gray hair. Of course, all of it's gray, but it's just a little bit of it all day. But we appreciate you and hope the Lord gives you many, many more happy years. Let's bow our heads, if you will, at this time. We'll have our closing prayers. We ask the Lord's blessing on us as we leave. And I'm going to ask John Calhoun, if he would, please, to dismiss us.